here live from the Auction Community Studios. Bickley and Murata Show. Luke Lipinski in for Vince Murata. Joined now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line by Steve Rivera of AllSportsTucson.com. Steve, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you.
The win last night over Oregon State, I guess on the surface, could be viewed as shaky, but under the circumstances could be viewed as kind of impressive, too. What's the feeling after that?
Well, given the history of that series with Oregon State and Arizona at Corvallis, it was a good win. Typically, and I've been there with good Luke teams in the past, Richard Jefferson-type teams, Luke Walton and those guys, they've struggled to win there, and some have lost there under even worse conditions because of emotions or whatever. But it was a good win. Before the game started, the spread in Vegas was 5. Not that any of us pay attention to that. But that's not a whole lot. That's not a whole lot given the talent level of each team.
All right, Steve, a couple things that I want to ask about the program. Alonzo Trier, the suspension, the Osterine. What do you make of it? Can this thing get adjudicated in time for him to get back reasonably quickly? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question for everybody. It's obviously a very big surprise to me and everybody who's kind of covered the story. Last year, we were told when we wrote the story and when he came back that he had to wait until everything was out of his system, everything, anything. And it happened, January 21st, I think it was, and they played against UCLA, and then he was able to play the rest of the year. This is kind of a shock, and I'm thinking either it's something that produces itself or was hidden somewhere in the fatty tissues that where it kind of lies in, and that's probably what it is. I'm sure you've heard reports that it's like a couple of grains of salt in a pool of whatever, and how many pools, I don't know, but it's there, obviously, and they would not have suspended him. But it's very, very crazy. Now it's up to the NCAA and how fast they test him again and see how soon they can get him on the court. The funny thing to me is this test was taken in late January, which, of course, means at least 3 weeks ago, and they told him last night that he was ineligible. So what happens to the 3 weeks of playing still? Does that count? Does that matter? Whatever. And how soon will be the next test? Because that's the next test, and then how soon will the results come? Next week is the final regular season games, and then we go to the Pac-12 tournament and then the NCAA tournament. So it took about 2.5 months for it to get out in the system, at least we thought out of the system, last year. How long will this take? Who knows?
Yeah, and there's so many unknowns. How does the university and specifically the basketball program now prepare, given where we are in the season and how close we are to March Madness, if they don't know if this is going to be one more game or the end of the season, or who knows?
Right, right. In fact, last night in the post-game radio show, Miller said that he was hopeful, or he was at least hoping, that that something could be resolved as soon as today. I think that's too optimistic, but, then again, I don't know. It's all up to the NCAA. If they told him yesterday he was suspended, I would assume it'd be more than just one game or even two. Given what you know about NCAA and what I know about NCAA, this could take a while, and who knows how long.
If it does take a while, what does it mean to the on-court product? As our producer said, who's a big Wildcats fan, he's the guy that is clutch. He's the guy that wants the ball at the end. Great shooting percentage, opens up the inside for Ayton. What's the impact on the court?
Well, it's a major impact. I think we all know, guys who have seen this team a number of times, this team is very capable of reaching the Final Four, something that Sean Miller has yet to do, and that's always a big story at this time of year. But without him, it's going to take a lot of help from Raleigh Alkins. Will have to step up and be more consistent. Ayton will have to even play better than what he has. Dusan Ristic, I don't know if he has more than what he's already given in the last 2 months because he's been unbelievable. Other guys will have to step up, and that means the freshmen will have to play hard and play more. Are they capable of getting to the Final Four? Hey, we've seen stranger things in the last 20 years with the 97 team winning it all. It's going to take a lot. Is it one of the best teams in the country without him? Probably not, but they could go on a roll. Who knows? They played well enough last night to win. I'm not sure if that's good enough tomorrow.
Yeah, well said.
What are the expectations locally? Because on the one hand, it's not the deepest team, but on the other hand, you have a guy that might be the number one overall pick in the draft, and expectations are always high for this team. But I mean, if they flame out in the second game of the tournament without Alonzo Trier, how upset are people going to be?
Yeah, well, I think they'll be upset at the NCAA for making this happen, because that's the, you know how his fan base is, it's woe is me, it's unfair, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. This is not you driven, that's not me driven, it's the NCAA marking its rules and Arizona failing to do it, or at least Trier failing to do it. Whether he's guilty or not, that's not for me to decide, but he still has that stuff in him, apparently. The expectation here is always beyond belief, unexpected craziness, or expected craziness. If they get out of the second round, they'll blame this, obviously.
Oh yeah.
If he comes back and they don't reach the Final Four, well, it's all the trouble with the FBI. It's this. It's that. It's injuries. It's all. There's something, some sabotage that has created this mess. Are they good enough? Of course. Will it happen? Have they played well enough? No. All year they haven't played well enough, or at least to the expectations that people thought.
Is there any sense in Tucson, Steve, that now that Yahoo has kind of named the 15 to 20 teams that could be in big trouble, that Arizona is not listed on that initial list?
Yeah, I'm sure you saw the story. I read it this morning when it came out. I don't know if that's the complete list, and I'm just saying that because what a week or so ago people were talking 50 teams and all this, and some of the Sweet 16 teams that they had predicted maybe 3 weeks ago. I think it's still early in the process. I don't know that to be true, but yes, on a good note, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Arizona was not on this list.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right,
That's not to say it won't be.
No, you're right about that. So I don't think it's like a big sigh of relief, but it's at least it's something for Arizona fans to hold on to. Okay,
correct.
So why is Rich Rodriguez still tweeting out congratulations to the basketball program?
That's a good question. He was not on Twitter a whole heck of a lot when he was the coach. That whole program is convoluted and a big mess, as you know. And the whole program, I mean, the whole athletic program is taking a huge black eye. And still, I think the media has not really jumped on the bandwagon to say what's the complete picture. You have a track coach who's under trial, going to be under trial soon. The football program that's in a mess. The basketball program that's in the FBI investigation, at least that we know of, regardless of what happened yesterday with the names. It's just a mess. And Rich Rod's continuing to do what he's doing. More power to him. I guess that's his goodwill tour. How long this will last, I do not know.
Yeah, but you were one of the guys among many that I've read down there that just kind of really illustrated how, I don't know, maybe disenfranchised Rich Rod became with Tucson, and as a result, the fan base vice versa with him. How did that happen, Steve?
It was a long process. He was here 6-7 years. He was a good old boy, a well likable guy.
Yeah.
And then over the last 2 or 3 years, when things went bad, he almost turned in a weird way. I didn't mind him. It's not that I didn't like him. To me, and I said this publicly before, that he was probably the poorest sport I've ever met at that level of play. And then, Dan, you've covered a number of people, and you can understand the 10-minute window of being upset and still being upset when you have to talk to reporters, but it was constant with him. And it was a 3-minute interview after the end of a game and short words. And I don't know if these guys realize they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's part of the job.
Right.
And it's part of the job. I mean, hell, give me $3 million and I'll talk to you an hour about how we lost.
Yeah.
I know that's easy to say and probably tough to do, but it's part of their job. They make a lot of money, and they're not saving lives. They're helping lives. But he was one of the worst at it I've ever been with. And I like the guy. I like the guy. He just made some bad decisions off the field, obviously. And it's continuing to happen with indictments or being named on Title IX issues now.
It's a mess. Steve Rivera, AllSportsTucson.com. Thanks for the time, all right?
All right, guys. Good to hear from you.
All right, Steve joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.